Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the third major of the 2022 calendar season, the U.S. Open in Brookline up there in the Boston, Mass. area. Going to have some fun with that. Going to talk about some RBC Canadian action, some live action, some fill action, all kinds of stuff going on in the world of golf these days. You can find me on Twitter at BDintric and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too shabby. Not too shabby. Wild weekend, to say the least. I think it's pretty safe to say, huh?
Yeah. I whenever I mentioned the Phil thing, the Phil press conference, I forgot that they even played a fucking golf tournament last weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Thursday through Saturday for us, a little 3-day. Charles Schwartzel taking over $4 million.
Did you get to watch it at all?
I watched like what was on Twitter, but you know what? I'll say this much. Like, I would have watched it if I was home, 100%. Because, like, what I saw was, and everything reports were, it was called actually watching golf, which was good. You actually got to watch golf. Quality might not have been great, but you got to watch golf. And and if anything says anything, like, my dad, who is going to be, I think, 68 this year, he texted me and asked where he could find the LIV tour to watch it. And he's not like a really, like, I'm the golf guy. He likes golf. I'm the golf guy. The fact he texted me because he wanted to see what was going on.
Yeah.
That's got to be a plus in the LIV world. That's all I have to say. So what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it was good from the perspective of a lot of golf shots. On the first day, I had a little bit of trouble finding the true stream, but ended up finding it and watching it. And my only gripe when they fixed this the second day was every time that they switched to a new golfer, it would just go ding, ding. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so they would switch to a new golfer showing a new shot, and then they would like, so that wore me the fuck out. But they listened and they fixed that. And so on Friday, that was not there. The golf was shit. The golf course looked okay. It looked, you know, I mean, it was a good looking golf course from that perspective, but like, I mean, am I going to tune in every week? I don't know. I guess it just depends on, like, I didn't have a whole hell of a lot of interest in the Canadian Open. So, and obviously it's the first week, so that's why I watched. But, I mean, I guess it'll probably get a little bit more interesting when we have guys like Patrick Reed and Bryson. Yeah. And
maybe Ricky.
I think Brooks is probably going to go too.
Yeah. Flatbill's there.
Yeah. Which.
Coke Rack.
You know, did you listen to the podcast with?
Oh yeah, you told me Pat all about Perez. It. It was like that next day, and I was dying. I was texting you about it, going, "This is amazing. He's lighting Phil up."
Yeah, I mean, and now he's taking the money, so I guess fuck all that shit he was saying. But I don't know, man. It was good from that perspective of like, let's. But the thing is like the reason that they do that, and the reason they can do that is because they don't have any sponsors. They have nobody paying to watch that. Yep. Right. So how sustainable is this really? Because who is going to get in bed with these guys?
Yep. That's the million dollar question. I've heard it on a bunch of different shows, like No Laying Up, some of the CBS stuff, Foreplay. I listened to a lot of, because there's some interesting takes last week. And that's one of the big caveats. But once one or two sponsors go, then the rest will follow. It's just like everyone's afraid to do it. But you got to think about it this way is, a lot of the same things that are taking place on LIV right now, that's how F1 got going. That's how other things got going. And it's a lot of the big soccer teams. So I think it'll eventually happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's just weird to me that, you know, like that, what's the point? Like how are the people who are going to make, who are putting all the money up for this, billions of dollars, going to recoup their investment?
The thing is, they don't care.
This I guess, but like, them. So then what the fuck's the point?
What I heard from some smarter people than me is their goal is to use this venture to make them look better other business ventures. They don't care what this golf thing does. They just want to basically change the appearance that they have.
So it's
they
PR.
Don't care about
it's all PR.
it's all there. They're probably writing off so much stuff. Like, they're not losing what we think they're losing, I bet. And to them, this is nothing. So as sad, right, as disgusting as that sounds,
I'm with you.
So, well, it's wild.
You know, and yeah,
it's wild.
I mean, a lot of people have texted me about it and they've talked to me about it. So, I mean, it's obviously a topic of conversation. But a lot of my buddies, and one in particular, you know, I mean, and we're in agreements in this, like, especially with the individual people, when they're getting these questions about, why are you doing this? Oh, to grow the game. No, bullshit. You're doing it to make money. And like, why not just be honest and be like, listen, yeah, they're paying me the most. So this is where I decided to go.
And DJ kind of, to us, it's the live. It's Greg Norman. You're good. Okay, you're good. Gotta love technology, but yeah, I just said it's gonna be interesting because I think more and more guys are coming. We kind of talked about it last week, and literally the next day, that's when Reed and them announced that they're coming, and it's just like it's gonna turn into a slightly watered down WGC every time they tee it up. Like, they're gonna have enough dudes. It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's gonna be different golf courses, which is gonna be cool. But I know you said you didn't get to see Phil's press conference today, but it was uncomfortable, to say the least. And a lot of these guys are going to have to answer those questions at least this week. And so we'll see how that goes. But they come out with some pairings. And
yeah,
some of them are pairings. Like Shane Lowry got fucked on his pairing.
Yep. Yep.
And some other, like, other guys did too. So it's, yeah, it's, this week is going to be crazy. I just don't like the in Phil's press conference. I don't feel like they asked a lot of the hard questions that could have been asked, but whatever, we'll see. And we're not here to, this is not a live golf podcast, and it never will be.
Yeah, it won't be, but I just, I'm enjoying the theater. That's all I have to
say. I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting.
And I enjoy how tilted people are on Twitter about it. It's like we said last week, if someone were to offer me $100 million, I'd be playing golf over there. Like,
oh,
I hate to break it to people, but if you say no to that, I'm going to call you a liar. I'm just going to call you a liar. Like, so, like, let's not try to be on our high horse and pretend that you wouldn't be doing something similar. But yeah, like you said, different show, different day. The one last thing I'll say is I did see a clip on Twitter. Billy Ho was on the range. Did you see this?
No.
And next to him, I think, was Usti and Brendan Grace, or one of the other live guys. Oh, no, it was Kevin Na. It's Kevin Na and Usti next to Billy Ho. Spieth walks up to Billy Ho, shakes his hand, says congrats on the memorial win, and then turns around and walks away. Didn't even make eye contact with the other two.
One thing that we didn't talk about was this whole team aspect and how the fact that team got so rigged, they had the top three positions.
Yeah.
Like, that's growing the game, I guess.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. So we'll see how this goes. It's going to be and like someone said, with all these new guys coming over, well, who's the short straw that doesn't get to play now? That signed deal that now has to find a way to go back on tour or something? Like, how does that work?
I don't know, man.
So it's going to be an interesting conundrum, to say the least. But let's talk. You see the Canadian Open at all, Rory?
I watched a little bit on Saturday. I didn't watch any on Sunday.
Okay, I watched a little bit on Sunday, not as much as I would have liked to, but I got to catch like the last three holes, and Rory got it done. So it was good to see. I was the cream rose to the top.
Yeah, that was a good leaderboard. I mean, that was as good of a leaderboard as you could possibly get ahead last week.
Yeah, it was pretty good. They couldn't have asked for much more in the week going up against Liv, so that was a big deal. But we'll move on. We've got the U.S. Open this week, the third major of the year, Brookline Country Club. What do you got for passive in history? Obviously different golf courses, but the U.S. Open.
Yeah. So obviously the there's a course rotation, which makes no sense and just rotates as the USGA pleases. One thing I would love to see is just like four or five courses like they do for the Open
British
Championship.
Open.
Yeah. Last year, John Rahm, 6 under, 1 shot over Louis Oosthuizen. 2020 winner was Bryson DeChambeau, 6 under, 6 shots over Matt Wolf. Gary Woodland won 2019, 13 under, 3 shots over Brooks. Brooks won in 2018 and 2017. 2018 was 1 over par. 2017 was 16 under par. DJ's in the past event winner, Spieth, Justin Rose, Webb Simpson, Rory, a long time ago. Tiger Woods won this 3 times.
Yeah, so it's just up there in Massachusetts. The Country Club in Brookline is actually how they go about it here. But it's a U.S. Open course with like a non-U.S. Open feel. It's like a Pebble Beach U.S. Open because it's much shorter than the last couple of years. It's 7,264 yards, par 70. There's four par threes, 12 par fours, two par fives. One of the par fives is extremely gettable, but there's a false front and some issues there. So if guys are aggressive, they could still get, you know, hosed because that's what the U.S. Open does. On the other par five is extremely difficult. There's a blind approach shot coming in. It's going to be very tricky. So that'll be a lot of fun. Par threes, there's one 131-yard par three, like in a canyon almost, or like a downhill type shot, which will be interesting, with OB all around it. All around it. So if you do not basically hit the green, it gets dicey. So that'll be fun. The other three par threes, par is a great score. Great score. So it'll be very, very challenging. The par fours, I think eight of them are 450 to 500. There's three over 500. So you got that going for you. Some of the narrower fairways you'll see on the entire tour, which is typical for US Open. They shrink it down. Massive rough, which is typical for the US Open. So accuracy of the tee is tremendously important. The greens are the only smaller greens on tour are Pebble Beach, extremely small greens. They're POA bent grass. It's like the POA you see in the Northeast where they are, of course, like at TPC Potomac and other places. But it's accuracy. Scrambling is going to have to be big. Bogey avoidance is going to be big. Certain par four scoring metrics going to be big. It's a stay in the fairway, have a good approach game. The one thing I'll say is it's supposed to be windier than snot, like 25 to 30 mile hour winds potentially at points throughout the week, and chances of rain, which will make things fun because that'll at least harden or soften the course up so they can't just, as they say, let the course go. So we'll see how that plays out. But it's going to be a very challenging golf course that you, well, there's, I will say this too, there's one drivable par four. I think it's like 317 yards. So guys can be aggressive there, but of course, if they miss, there's very penal rough and stuff that'll make things difficult. And there's two par fours that are like 340 to 360-ish. So guys can be aggressive there or get in trouble. So there's risk rewards out there, but there's also a lot more risk than rewards, if you want to put it that way. So what are you looking at this week, Jesse?
Yeah, the did you see the video yesterday of a guy dropping a ball in the middle of the fairway and it rolled almost into the water?
No. That's not good.
Check that out. Well, it's just so undulating in this particular part of this fairway. I think it's on nine. But you either have to lay it way back or like hit it over top of this part of the fairway. There's a lot of blind shots out there too. If you've seen the course preview, I watched the one that No Laying Up did. And so there's a lot of, you know, basically you just have to pick a spot out on the horizon and hit it there. But as far as stats go, it's a typical U.S. Open. You know, you want somebody who's going to hit a lot of fairways, hit a lot of greens, or scramble really well and avoid bogeys. I mean, that's pretty much the formula to winning, because par is always a good score this week.
Yep, no doubt about it. Low score should take this one home. Don't expect a birdie fest unless something really crazy happens. But let's just get into it. DK, it's the best of the best. So we'll always say, like, oh, man, how's this guy priced? There's going to be some chalky spots, but you're going to have to make it work because you don't want to go too deep. It gets nasty in the 6Ks. So 10K and above, you got Scottie Scheffler at 11.3, JT at 10.9, Rahm at 10.8, Rory at 10.5, Cam Smith at 10.2, and Morikawa at 10,000. Where are you going up here, Jesse?
I mean, you know, it's a typical pick your poison range here. I think Rory will be the chalk, especially coming off the win. When I say the chalk, just the highest owned of these guys up here, I kind of lean towards Rahm above the rest of them just because of the way that he does strike the ball from tee to green. The last time out to Memorial, he didn't hit it very well off the tee, but I would imagine he'll get that fixed, and he hit a bunch of greens. And obviously, he's the defending champion. I don't know how many people will be on him. I think JT will be another popular guy, and Scotty. The only thing that worries me about Scotty is just he's pretty wild from time to time, off the tee. You know, at the Charles Schwab, he hit 60% of the fairways. PGA Championship, he hit 54% and missed the cut. I mean, his best was the Masters, but those are just massive fairways. So I don't know if it's a Scotty week or not. I want it to be. Big Scotty fan at this point, but I just don't know if I can go there. I feel like Rahm is the guy up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm leaning right now. And it's weird because I obviously weighted things different than most because In no world should a model have Scottie Scheffler 27th and JT 24th, but that's what mine spit out over the last 24 rounds, which shocked me. And one of them is JT's just not good off the tee, like fairway wise. So, and I'm weighting that pretty heavily on this week. So maybe that's what skewed this a bit, because they're great on approach, great on the par four scorings. I like both of them a lot. But John Rahm and Rory McIlroy ranked 9th and 3rd in my model, respectively. I like them a lot this week. I think some people will be off of John Rahm just because of the recent performances. You know, Rory coming off the W, he was super chalky last week, probably very popular again this week at 10-5. And then JT and Scotty, like you said, are great plays. Like, you can't go wrong there. So Rahm might be the dude. I won't have any Cam Smith if he beats me, so be it. He's having such a hard time finding fairways right now, and he's getting in the roughs. The last 2 weeks, he's had bad rounds. It's because he's not in the fairway. We talked about it last week when he fell apart on that Sunday. He just couldn't find a fairway. All of Thursday, couldn't find it. He's been a mess off the tee right now, so that'll eat him for lunch here if he's doing that. And then Morikawa kind of seems a little lost right now too, so I'm going to kind of pass on that. So for me, it's Rahm and Rory, but probably Rahm for me as well. I do like JT and Scotty a lot, though. Again, this is a week you can play ownership 100%. Play the ownership game for sure, because they're all very, very good. But if I got to pick just one for now, I think I'm with you. Give me Johnny Rahm, who's just, I think, quietly going to put it together. He's built for U.S. Opens, let's put it that way. So I'm looking forward. He's 6th in good drives, 4th in par fours, 450 to 500, which there's 8 of on this course. So he's 1st off the tee in this field of the last 24 rounds. So give me some Johnny Rahm. 9K range, you got Vic Hovland at 97, Xander 96, Spieth 95, DJ 94, Willie Z 93, Cantlay 92, Matsuyama 91, and Shane Lowry at 9,000. What do you got in this range?
Start with Xander at 9,600. Three straight made cuts for him, all inside the top 20. And at the Memorial, he played well enough to sneak inside the top 20 there. He finished 18th. He's been hitting a decent enough clip of fairways, I think, that that he can have some success. I'm not really usually a super Xander guy. I would say DJ, but I feel like every single one of these live guys, especially the high profile ones, DJ and Phil in particular, are gonna have so much pressure, and it's gonna be hard to mentally stay in it, I feel like, for 4 days, assuming that they're 4 days. And then Will Zalatoris, obviously. I mean, he might be the highest owned guy in this field. To Memorial, he finished 5th. He missed the cut to Charles Schwab, 2nd at the PGA Championship. And I mean, like, those are the two that I would compare most to what it's going to be like this week, the Memorial and the PGA Championship. And he finishes inside the top 5 on both of them. If he doesn't miss the cut, I mean, he's made it inside the top 40 in his last, since January. So that's a guy who I think I'm just going to have to eat the chalk on him, because the stats are so good and the finishes are there as well. Last but not least, we mentioned this before I don't know if we talked about this on air or not, but Shane Lowry is paired with Louis and somebody else who's playing live golf as well. So he's kind of going to be the sandwich there. I feel bad for him, but I think he can win this week. He's a guy who's played very, very well this year, has a bunch of finishes inside the top 5. And so I really like going to Shane Lowry at 9,000.
I'm going to back you on that one, because Shane Lowry's 2nd in my model. I love him. He's 7th on approach, 9th on the par fours we're looking for, 2nd on good drives, 3rd in scrambling, 2nd in bogey avoidance. Like, he does everything you want on a challenging golf course. This is what he's built to do. And if it does get windy, I got no problem with Shane Lowry. So I like him a ton this week. It's chalk. I'm going to eat as well. I'm with you 100% on that. Don't mind the X-Man. He's 6th in my model. He's 3rd in good drives in this field. Definitely a guy that can pepper with his approach game. I think Vic Hovland's the interesting one, because we always talk about his around the green game. That can be tricky, but if he can figure that out, we know he's one of the better guys off the tee and really good in the par four scoring. And then the other guy we're looking at is Hideki Matsuyama. I think I say it all the time that he always seems to come in lower owned than he should be, because when you talk about accuracy, his accuracy is like middle of the pack good, but his approach game is one of the best approach games on tour. So if he can get off the tee, Hideki can run hot at any given time. It's always the putter with Hideki. What's his putter going to do? $1 million question. So I think he's a very, very intriguing one this week. So there's 3 or 4 guys I like this 9K range a lot. And the Lowry chalk, it's going to be very tasty this week. Very, very tasty. 8K range, Neiman's 89, Young 88, Brooksy 87, Billy Ho at 86, Fitzpatrick 85, Berger 84, Burns 83, Finau 82, Homa 81, and Tyrell Hatton at 8,000. I can't wait to see Hatton's reaction this week. What do you got in this one?
Yeah, he's going to have this course redesigned before it's over with. But start at the top there with Neiman. I don't know if he played last week. I don't think he did. He finished third at the Memorial, 23rd at the PGA Championship, hitting it really well recently, off the tee, hitting a bunch of greens. And so I like his chances pretty well this week. Billy Ho at 8,600 obviously won the Memorial his last time out, so he can play tough golf courses. Fitzpatrick, I mean, this is what he does, right? Last week started off as a tougher week, I think kind of because of the weather, but also just how the golf course was playing. And, of course, the winner ended up 17. I think Rory shot 17 for the week. 18 for the week. Yep. And they kind of just dusted Fitzpatrick, unfortunately. But he started really well. He plays well at tough golf courses. If you look at PGA Championship, Wells Fargo, he did miss the cut at the Memorial, but whatever. Fitzpatrick at 8,500. Berger at 84. He's been playing kind of under the radar, not really having great finishes, but the dude has been really solid off the tee, hitting 67% of his fairways, and then backing that up with 68% of his greens and regulation. So, you know, I think that that's worth playing him, and it's even better on the short term with 70% of, in the fairway, but worse on greens and regulation. So anyway, Daniel Berger, Sam Burns, two-time winner this year already, played pretty well last week. One of the best ball strikers on tour. I will go to him. Last but not least, Max Homa is another guy who I'll just play every week. It doesn't matter anymore for me. I'm just, especially at this price, 8,100, I feel like that's an underprice on him. So Max and Sam are be my two favorites in this region, though.
Yeah, loaded 8K range. Like, this is a range. If you just want to go balanced, you got zero problem making an all 8K lineup. In this one, Neiman, I love at 89. I'm with you 100% there, the way he's playing. Fifth off the tee, the last 24 rounds, 12th in good drives, just consistently playing very well. Cam Young is going to be very popular because he's been balling out lately. Second off the tee, fourth around the green, eighth in the par fours, fourth in scrambling. Like, he does, he checks the boxes on everything you want there. Billy Ho, you can't deny it. I know he's coming off the dub. You usually don't see back-to-back wins like that. But if we're talking on approach game, he's seventh in good drives, 12th in fairways gained. So he's usually in the fairway, and then he can giddy up and go. So I think Billy Ho is quite intriguing still. Love Fitzpatrick with you 100% there. Burnsy, I honestly think Burns is priced too cheap this week also. For a guy that plays the way he plays and wins the way he wins.
I don't disagree.
You disagree?
I don't. Do not.
Oh, okay. Disagree. Yeah. I think he's too cheap at $8,300. I was kind of surprised to see him down here. So I think he's a great play. I love Homa. Yeah. Homa's just a regular for me pretty much every week, especially he's proving tougher golf courses. He can actually like do it. So
yeah,
I like Max quite a bit. And then the other one we didn't mention, Tony Finau. He played really well last week. He's starting to play really good again. Somehow, again, I told you, like, I weighted my stuff differently. So the model's a little weird, but he's first in my model, which is kind of scary. But he's third off the tee, sixth in proximity, 175 to 200, fifth in par fours, 450 to 500, ninth in good drives, ninth in scrambling, third in bogey avoidance. Those are all things you're looking for when it comes to U.S. Open golf. We know Tony can screw it up, but the last couple of events he's had, he's looked a lot more like Tony Finau that we were used to seeing. So Finau at 82 could be interesting as well. So it's 8K range, a lot of guys to like, a lot of guys to play the ownership game on. And it should be a real, like, this could be an area where you can really differentiate your lineup and still get some studs that helps you win if you want to eat, like, the Lowry chalk or some other chalk somewhere else. This is a good place to get some very talented golfers at potentially lower ownership. 75 to 79, you got Bryson, Connors, Wise, Mito, Fleetwood, Casey, if he plays this week, Sungjae, Usti, Answer, Seamus, Keegan, and Gooch. What do you got here?
Start off top with Corey Connors, $7,900. We know how good he is from tee to green. We don't have to worry about the putter as much this week, and he had a pretty decent showing last week as well. Mito at $7,800. I don't know if he'll be chalky this week. Obviously, had almost won the PGA Championship. At least should have gotten the playoff. Looked up the last hole, finished third. Since then, he finished seventh at the Charles Schwab Challenge, and then the 13th at the Memorial. He's coming in hot. He's hitting a lot of fairways. So just hitting it really well off the tee. So I like his chances to at least make the cut this week. And at $7,800, I'll take those chances all day. Answer at 7,600 is another guy who I think is playable. He's had a more of an up and down year, but the model does like him. Sung Jae at 76 as well. Yeah. I mean, that's a, you know, I feel like last year maybe, let's just see what Sung Jae was at the U.S. Open last year. He was, of course, that just don't search it that way. Let's just go back here.
He's going to be chalky this year, that's for sure.
I would think, let's see, the U.S. Open last year, he was 7,600. 4.5% owned last year, finished 35th. Wow. And then obviously this year coming in basically with four straight top 20s. He did finish 21st at the Heritage, if you want to be technical, but whatever. Playing really well, $7,600. Last but not least, Keegan. Yep. I mean, you know, if we want a guy who's great tee to green, it's always Keegan. The short game around the green is sketchy, but, you know, if you're at $7,500, that's who I would be picking.
Yeah, I like Keegan a lot. He's 15th in my model. He loves playing in the North. He's a Boston guy. He's won tournaments up here before. And you know what's crazy is usually we always talk about like Keegan's putter or something. Over the last 24 rounds, he's 13th in this field. Like, he's actually rolling it pretty good right now. So something to keep in mind. He rates out pretty good, as you said. Don't mind Abe, 20th in my model. Great in proximity. He's 4th in my model. 8th in drives, 8th in fairways. Everything you want to see right there. Sungjae's fine. I think Usti's interesting if he can handle the live chatter, which I don't think Usti cares, but he's built for tournaments like this. He really is. This is an Usti setup. So Usti at 76, a potentially low ownership, can be good. You mentioned Connor and Mito. I'll throw out there that Fleetwood's starting to come into much better form, and we've seen him perform extremely well in U.S. Opens in the past. Like, he'll throw one of those, like, Saturday morning, early tee time, like, seven unders out of nowhere. Like, that's just what Fleetwood does every year. So keep him in mind. And then last but not least, if you want a super low owned play, Aaron Wise at $7,800 has my attention. He's 14th in my model, 10th in approach, first in par fours, 450 to 500. If you look at recent performance from Aaron Wise, he's been slowly getting better and better. The ownership was much higher at the Memorial last week after some low ownerships, but he's gained 7.6 strokes total over the last five rounds. He finished second at the Memorial, 23rd at the PGA, 51st at the AT&T, 6th at the Mexico Open, 21st at the Heritage. So that would be five straight made cuts. I like where his game's coming, and I think he'll go virtually unowned in this range with Connors, Mito, and Sungjae. So Aaron Wise could be a nice low-owned one for you in this range. 7K to 7,400. What do you like here?
I mean, there's some names down here, but like not guys that I'm like super excited to play. Davis Riley at $7,300 has played very well recently. 13th, 4th, 13th, 9th, 5th in his last five starts. So he's a guy that I would most definitely take a look at in that $7,300 range. Luke List, man, at 7,000. You know, basically Keegan's younger stepbrother. Really good tee to green.
Just a worse putter.
He's just, you know, just awful, awful short game, but tee to green is usually week in, week out spectacular. His last start at the Memorial, he finished 26th, but he also shot 77 on Sunday. And then Adam Hadwin, for some reason I have checked off. I don't know if I'm feeling Adam Hadwin or not. I mean, he played well at the Memorial, made the cut at the PGA Championship, so, and he made the cut last week, and I think too. So if you want to play, you know, somebody in that 7K range, that's who I would be kind of looking at. Normally I would say Kevin Knott, but I can't. I just can't do it. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. It's a perfect Knott setup, but it's tricky when it comes to Kevin Knott on this one. For me, I'm going to start with Sebastian Munoz at $7,400. He's 5th in my model. He's made 10 straight cuts on tour. Has not missed a cut since the Amex. 25th at the RBC, 48th, 55th, 3rd at the Byron Nelson. Coming in playing really, really good golf right now. 9th in par 4 scoring, 10th in good drives, 9th in bogey avoidance. I think Sebastian is a guy to take an eye on, keep an eye on. Always HV3 if you want to go in tournaments. 26th in my model. Really good approach game. He's $7,300. Russell Henley, he's been an up-and-down guy, kind of going the wrong direction in the stats department, but we know approach game, if he's on, is one of the better guys on tour. Davis Riley, I'm with you there at $7,300. There's not a lot of live guys I like, but I do kind of like Patrick Reed this week. 37th in my model, 15th around the green, 12th in proximity, 10th in scrambling. Like, we know how he won at Torrey before, not for the U.S. Open, obviously, but and that's a much longer golf course, but a grinded out type approach. That's a Pat Reed specialty. So I think this is interesting. You know, like we talked about before, he ditched the PXG. So I'm not as worried about the off the tee because his off the tee numbers look horrible, but that was a lot of the PXG stuff. It's been a little better since then. I did not see how he finished in London this last week, but I didn't,
he didn't play.
Oh, that's right. He withdrew from the RBC or whatever because he didn't join LIV.
Right. Did you, one thing on Patrick, did you see his tweet with like his, like welcoming, like more or less press conference, but with just one reporter talking about him joining LIV? I just go check it out.
Oh, wow. That sounds like the most Patrick Reed thing ever.
You'll want to cringe.
Yeah, it's making me like cringe just thinking about it right now. Like, did Justine ask the questions, or how'd that go?
I mean, pretty much. She might as well have been. Yeah.
Oh wow. Gary Woodland again. I guess if you want to do the narrative, Pebble Beach type U.S. Open, but Woodland's been playing really well. $7,100, ninth in the par fours you're looking at here. So I think he's very intriguing. And then a couple others like Brian Harman ranks out 22nd. Really good at finding the fairways. Good at scrambling. Patrick Rogers big week last week. Like, he's always tournament viable. I would not trust him in cash. But on a smaller golf course, he's in play. Then Norin, and last but not least, Siwoo Kim ranks 28th in my model. He's third around the green last 24 rounds, first in proximity, 175 to 200, 10th in fairways gained. He's not good at the longer par fours, and he doesn't putt, as we know. So I think in tournaments, though, I think Siwoo is very interesting at 7,000. We've seen him play great at Pebble before. We've seen him compete at U.S. Opens, not to win, but like be productive for $7,000. So that's a guy that I don't mind at all. 6K range, it gets nasty, Jesse. What do you like down here?
There's some guys I'll play down here. Franny at 6,900.
That's your boy. He took over the Franny from me. He's your boy.
He was in contention a little bit. It was toward the top of the leaderboard, the Memorial. Shot 78 on Sunday, finished 26th, but has made three straight cuts. Victor Perez, he's a guy who plays over on the European Tour. Third his last time out. Yeah, he won the Dutch Open at the end of May, so about 2 weeks ago. Won the Dutch Open. Ryan Fox is another guy who I think might be playable. Joel Dahmans at 6,600. I think he's a guy that to check out. Nick Hardy at 6,200. MJ Duffy at 6,100. And Richard Mansell at 6,100. Mansell is a guy who, European Tour guy, has not missed a cut on the European Tour since August of last year. I mean, I guess he was off from like September to February, but anyways, third and ninth in his last two starts, three top tens in his last three starts. And then MJ Duffy, D-A-U-F-F-U-E, however you pronounce that, mostly plays on the Korn Ferry Tour. But when he's made PGA Tour starts, his last four, he's made the cut. Now, really weak fields, opposite field shit, but I don't know. I mean, I've just heard his name floated around, and he's played well recently on the Korn Ferry Tour. So,
you don't want Grayson Murray.
He qualified.
He qualified. Yep.
Good for him.
Yep. Good for him. Exactly. for me, I Adria Arnas. He's 23rd in my model, ninth in proximity, and third in long par fives. Another European Tour golfer. Keep an eye on him. I like the Victor Perez call. But a couple guys I've been rolling with a lot lately for cheap. Kurt Kitayama. We saw how he finished at the Players with a wonderful where did he go here? Where the heck did he? Well, he was miscut last week, fourth at the Schwab, 15th at Wells Fargo, second in Mexico. I thought he played the Players, apparently not. But he's third at Honda. That's what it was, the Honda. And a tough golf course like that at 6,700. He's 33rd in my model. I'll take a chance on him. Danny Lee's another approach type guy. And then the Stugoat. Stugoat at 6,700. He's actually sixth in this field of par fours over 500 yards, which kind of surprised me. One of the better accuracy drivers in this field. Going to come in at next to no ownership. He's coming up back to miss cuts, but then 23rd at the PGA Championship, ninth at Wells Fargo. He had a seventh at the Valspar. There have been some miscuts involved there for the Stu Goat as well, but could be interesting at his price point. I like the Joel Dahmans call, quite one of the better fairway finders on tour. So I think he's very, very much in play. And I guess I'll keep poking around some more, but like, you know, Richard Bland was in contention last year at Torrey. I'm not saying I'm in love with him, but he's a great fairway finder. So that could be someone to keep in mind, but it's ugly down here. It's ugly. I'm just like reaching for straws now. All right, let's recap things, Jesse. 10K and above, who you got?
I guess I'm going to have to go with Rom.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on Rom. I like that one a lot. Okay, if, to be different, I'll go JT, but I like Rom. 9K range.
Zalatoris.
I am going to go with Mr. Shane Lowry. 8K.
I'm going to say Sam Burns.
I like that. I am going to, this is tough, such a good range. Give me Neiman. 75 to 79.
Mito.
I am going to go with Keegan. 7K to 74.
Davis Riley.
Another, actually better range than I expected, to be honest here. I'm going to go Sebastian Munoz. And then your 6K range.
Oh, man. I'm going to say Franny.
Yeah, that's a good, like, I'm starting to like him more than I started looking at him since you mentioned him. That's a good one. I'll go with Victor Perez just because he's coming in great form. You need to have good form coming in here. I know I heard some stuff like the last like 13, the last 15 winners, you had a T15 or better until you're like in your last two events and stuff. Like, you have to have good form coming into this event. You can't just show up here and hope you're going to figure it out. That's for darn right. Sure. If you're building a cash lineup this week, where are you starting?
I like Mito, Corey Connors, Sam Burns, Matt Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I just go to the 8K range. Give me Neiman, Billy Ho, and Fitzpatrick. Throw Burns in there if you want. Like, I just start in that range.
Yep.
But GPPs, this is where it gets fun. What do you like in here?
Yeah, I mean, so like Rom, most likely with Zalatoris. I feel like they probably will play well in the same style of golf course. And then Davis Riley.
Yeah, I'm going to go Shane Lowry, Matthew Fitzpatrick, and Max Homa. You can decide how high you want to go and how low you want to go from there. Most important question now, who you got winning this thing?
I like some odds here. Zalatoris at 30, Sam Burns at 30, Lowry at 35, and then Homa at 45.
Those are great numbers. Yeah, those are like, I like all every one of those that you just mentioned is very strong. If you want like a longer shot, Keegan is 80-1, and that would not surprise me if he put something half decent together. He's that could be an interesting one for the.
What about Bryson being 80-1?
I just don't know what to do with Bryson, man. He looks lost.
No, I'm not saying bet him, but just
crazy. But the odds, the odds are crazy. Like what used to be, what could have been type stuff. Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy. Well, look at Justin Rose at 65. That used to be like a Fleetwood at 65 is kind of interesting. He just never closes, but that's an interesting one. If you think Billy Ho can go back to back, he's 55, and he is built to play here, so that could be an interesting one as well. But there's actually good odds. I like those ones you mentioned right out the gate with Lowry, Homa, and company. That's so some strong ones indeed. All right, it's a big major weekend. Any final advice for the listeners out there? Like, spend all your money, all your bankroll. Like, what's time?
You know, I tend to go overboard on majors because the contests are always so good, but it's really not a good week to go unless it's the Masters, because we have zero course history. Yep. And so we don't really know how this is going to play. And if obviously you throw in the weather factor, like you're talking about, might be sketch, but it's so much fun, especially with the US Open. This is the second best golf tournament of the year.
Yeah. US Open, you're going to get some trunk slams from the unexpected, because it's like, you know, three straight drives off the tee into the rough on three straight holes. And then now you're back-to-back doubles or something. Like, it's just right. It's carnage, and it's missing by just mere feet. Or like Jesse mentioned, the video where the guy hit the fairway and it rolled into the water, like just little things like that, that a good golf shot turns bad quickly at the US Open.
Sure.
And so the best of the best can just get eaten alive just like the rest of us on a regular day, and that's what makes it fun. So you're gonna tilt because that's what we do, but just realize that the carnage will take place at the US Open. Pure carnage will take place. So buckle up and enjoy. It's going to be fun. If you have any questions, we're in the Discord. So come check us out over there. It's free. Or check out Jesse on the Twitter there at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Intric. Good luck, everybody. This was your 2022 US Open preview. Catch you guys next time.